Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Shavuos Memhei. We begin on Mem Dalad Amud Beis at the last line. We're right in the middle of this super long Mishnah. It's basically one combined Mishnah of all the Mishnahs in the Perek. It's pretty much a single focus Mishnah discussing various Shavuos that have been instituted by the Chachamim. So the Mishnah actually began with an opening statement that typically, you know, your classical case of Shavuot involves a fellow absolving himself, right? Nishboin v'loy mishalmin. For instance, a defendant to a claim who responds with a partial admission, right? Moedev mitzvah, he swears to make himself potter. But in some situations, Chachamim made an exception to this rule, and they allowed a person to actually swear and collect. One was a sochir, a worker. I worked, where's my pay? I paid, no you didn't. He swears and collects. A nigzal, a nechbal, and now on the bottom line, shekenegdoy. Another example of a nishba benoita would be a fellow who is claiming against his opponent who should be making a shvur because he's a meidev miktas or whatever, but the issue is he's not to be trusted with a shvur. Shekenegdoy choshed ala shvur. He's known to swear falsely. We don't want to risk another shvua sheker, so now we transfer it to the plaintiff. You swear and collect, rather than have him swear to absolve himself. So let's play it out. Shekenek dechosh al shvua ketzad, for instance, achas shvua sa'edis, whether the fellow is suspected of falsifying a shvua sa'edis, achas shvua sa'pikadin, or shvua sa'pikadin, which both involve, you know, some sort of monetary element. So where's my pikadin? No, I don't have it. He swears. Turns out it's false. So he did two things wrong. Bein Adam LaMokayim, between himself and Hashem, Shvuah Sheker, and also he deprived the rightful owner of his money. Bein Adam LaChaveiro. Now comes the clincher, Afilo Shvuah Shav, even if he's known to swear falsely in vain, without affecting anybody, pretending this stone pillar is really gold, right? Even though he's merely violating Bein Adam LaMokim here. He's not to be trusted with a shvua. So in this type of case, we don't entrust him with a shvua, rather we let the Teveya swear and collect. Or in situations where they committed some sort of financial transgression, and again, they're not to be trusted with these types of Shvois, haya echad men misachad bekuvya. So the fellow is a gambler, mava beribis, he lends with interest, mafricha yainim. He's involved in bird racing, vasechri shvius, and dealing with shvius produce, which is not allowed. And all these, they're not to be trusted. They are willing to transgress, to violate for gain, for financial gain. We can't trust them with a shvua. You might be tempted to swear falsely, to gain, to benefit. So in all these situations, shekenegdoi, nishba v'noitel, rather the fellow opposite him, meaning the teveya, collects through a shvua. What happens if both of them are just as not trustworthy? Ho yishneim chashudin, they're both not to be trusted. What happens now? Says the Mishnah, Chaz Rosh Hashvolim Kaima, the Shvo is restored to its original place. Divrei Rav Meir, Rav Yesi, and the Gemara will explain exactly how this works. Rav Meir Omer, no, we split the pot evenly, Yachleiku, they split it. Okay, Vachemini Apikasa. He's another fellow on our list of Nishboim and Eitlan. Chachamim allowed a Chenvani, a grocer, to swear Apikasa about his ledger. He swears that it's owed to him, and that the money recorded on his ledger, the numbers are correct. He swears and collects from the customer. Ketzad, how? How do we go about this? Says the Mishnah, don't think he can just pull out his ledger and point, you know, to any amount. You owe me $2 million, and he gets paid. No, it doesn't work. That's not what we mean. rather, there has to be some sort of firm basis for this claim. He can't just turn to Mr. Customer and say, look, it says you owe me $200. That doesn't work. Ella, rather, was speaking about a case as follows. We're all agreed that there was some basis for the claim. There's just some confusion as to how the story played itself out. And in that case, we say the chenvani is to be trusted when he swears and collects. Elo emer loy, the customer had instructed the grocer, tain libni, please, when my son shows up, provide him with sa'asayim chitin, two sa' of chita, okay? Sure, I'll do it. Or tain lipay ali selam mois. Grocer is known to have some, you know, extra change. Do me a favor, I'm out of change. When my workers show up tonight, please give them mois, you know, coins and nickels, sela, worth a sela. Give them a dollar of change. Okay, and I'll pay you back. Comes the next day, he meets Mr. Grocer, who I'm Renasati, who claims he delivered the goods. Yeah, you asked me to give it to your son, I gave it to him. You asked me to give it to the workers, I gave it to them. So you entrusted me with this task. So now he has a right to get paid. He has a right to be believed that in fact he carried out the mission and he deserves to get paid. Problem is, Vein Oimrim Lanatanu. The intended recipients claim, me? I never got the wheat. Me? I never got the money from the grocer. So the Baal Bais is sort of stuck in the middle. Here he instructed the grocer to do something on his behalf. He trusted him with it. He sort of submitted to his discretion, right? Take care of it, I'll pay you for it. The fellow said he gave it. They said they never got it. So he's sort of owing to both now. He's owing to the grocer, he's owing to his workers. Hu nishba v'noitu? So the worker swears that he never, you know, that he paid it off and now he'd like to get paid. Hu nishba v'noitu? He swears and collects from the customer. Likewise, the workers, vein nishboim v'noitu, they can swear and collect from him as well. This is the aloch of chenboni al penkasi. Although he has no proof that he delivered the goods, but you entrusted him, you gave him that ne'emanus. You instructed him to do so, you have to pay up based on his word. So it's an ironic situation. We have two individuals on two sides of the sort of the coin, both making a shvua to confirm their contradictory claims. Amar ben Anas, we can't allow this to happen. Inevitably, one of them is swearing falsely. Either the grocer or the worker. Right? Either he gave it or he didn't give it, right? Keitzad elu ve'elu bo'in lidei shvuas shav. How can we allow one of these parties to swear in vain? Ella, rather, the correct approach is skip the shvuah. So he suspends the whole shvuah in this case. Hu noitel b'shalei b'shvuah, ve'in noitel b'shalei b'shvuah. They all collect without a shvuah. Amar chanvan is tenle b'dinar peiros. Here's another case. We veer away from the aloha of chenvani al penkasi. We're just going to discuss, you know, several variations of this type of customer versus grocer disagreement. Amar l'chenvani, Mr. Customer asks Mr. Grocer, "Tain li b'dinar peiros, please give me a dollar worth of bananas." V'nasan lo, he delivered the bananas to the customer. Now, Mr. Grocer would like to get paid. Amar lo, tain li eisa dinar, could you give me the dinar that you owe me? Amar lo, he says, of course, I gave it to you already. Nasat of Loch, I gave it, I put it into your cash register. Vinasat ibn Pali. Yeshava Baal Bais, Shanasan Sadinar. So now the Baal Bais, the customer swears that he paid and he's potter. But he has to swear. Amar Litanis Haperis. What if it's the other way around? He gave him the dollar. Now he says, I'd like my Paris. Amar Loi, grocer says, I deliver them. Nasatim locha, voilachtim l'sech be'secha. I gave it to you. You took it home. So in this case, the grocer has to swear to absolve himself. Yishav echenvani. So in one case, the Chanavani has to swear. In the first case, where the Chanavani claimed that he has yet to get paid, the Baal Bais has to swear. Rabbi Da'imer, no, in that case, Kol Shaperes Biyodi. Since the Baal Bais already has the fruit, chances are they were already paid for. No grocer lets go of the produce without getting paid. Yodai Alal Yoina. He has the upper hand. It's to be assumed that he already paid. He doesn't have to swear to prove his claim. Here's a similar case with a shulchani. That's like a banker, a money changer. Amal shulchani, he instructed the banker, Tainli B'din Amaris, to give him a sum of ma'is valued at a dinar, in exchange for his dinar. Okay, here's a dollar for some change. V'nasan loy, the banker gave him his change, and now he'd like his dollar. Amar loy, Tainli is hadinar, could you give me the dinar? Amar loy, he says, well, I gave it to you. Nusatev lach, unusatoy, Bunpali, I already gave you. You put it into your register, right? So nasatoy here and also before means you put it into your register. So in this case, since the Baal Bais is the defendant, he has to defend himself with the shua. Yishabah Baal Bais, Baal Bais has to swear that in fact he paid it. Nosan sadiner. What if it's the other way around? He gave him the dollar and now he's waiting for his change. Amar lo yitenli samois, could I have my money? Mr. Banker claims, I gave it to you. You put it into your wallet, into your pocket. In this case, the shulchani is on the defensive. Yishava shulchani, he has to swear to absolve himself. Once again, Rabbi Da'imer, in the previous case, where the Baal Bais got the change and the shulchani is asking for his dollar, where the Mishnah says the Baal Bais has to swear to back up his claim. No, says Rabbi Yehuda, ein der shulchani, there's no need for the Baal Bais to swear in that case because it's unlikely, very unlikely, that the shulchani, litein iser, would give his money ad shitaldina before taking the payment. So in that case, since the Baal Bais has the change, clearly it's been paid up for. Here come several more halachis regarding shvois derabbanan. Chachamim introduced different types of shvois required to verify various claims, and again, these are shvois midrabbanan. Kishem shamru, just as we learned back in Maseches Ksubos, hapegiyah misksubos, a woman who's in possession of her ksuba document, in order to collect her ksuba payment, but she's in agreement, so the husband says it's all paid up. She says all paid up, partially paid up. So by acknowledging partial payment, she in effect is weakening the power of her document because she's admitting that there is an inaccuracy in this ksuba right now. It's been partially paid up. Therefore, the Chacham say, Loi tipara al b'shvoi, she can only collect by way of a shvua to confirm that in fact she's owed, you know, the balance. That's one example. Or ve'ed echad me'ido shi'perua, there is an eid echad testifying that she'd been paid up. Once again, Loi tipara al b'shvoi, she can only collect with a shvua to oppose the eid echad. Or m'nachasim shubadim, if a person is looking to collect from assets which had been sold by his loiva after the loan, so tied up assets, you can only collect with a shvuah. Or if a person is collecting from orphans due to the father's loan, lo yitipar al mishvuah, so the woman has to swear. Or if she's collecting her husband's asset from her husband's assets when he's not here, he's sent to get, you know, from a different town, and she's collecting her ksuah payment from his local assets. Again, since he's not around, we want to make sure it's all kosher, like the part of the shvua, she can only collect with the shvua. So just as we all know these halachis, continues the Mishnah with a new halacha being taught today. V'chein, likewise, ha'yisayimim le'yipor al b'shvua, if yisayimim are here to collect upon their father's debt, they can only do so with a shvua to verify, to confirm that in fact this loan is still outstanding. What are they going to swear? That as far as we know, father who passed away was still owed this money. Shvuah shle pukat nu abba, I swear that our father didn't send us any messages to the contrary. V'shalei amar lanu abba, nor did he tell us directly. V'shalei matzinu ben shtei reisav shel abba sheshtar zeh perua, nor did we find any, you know, indication, any receipt amongst his files that this loan document has been paid up. Rabbi Yechon Bar Ga'imer, afilu neilat haben la'achar misa sa'av, harei ze nishma v'noitu. Even if the child was born after father passed away, so there's no way he could have gotten any instructions from his father. So you think he doesn't have to swear because, you know, what's the point? No, harei ze nishma v'noitu, he first has to swear in order to collect, to confirm that in fact there are no receipts or, you know, any indications to the contrary. Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Here's an exception to the rule. Im yesh edim, we have witnesses right here. Shamar Abishas Misasai, testifying that father, as he was passing away, declared shtar ze enei perua. Here you, everybody should know this shtar was not yet paid up. That confirms it. Noitel shel bishvua, that eliminates any need for the yerush to swear. He can collect outright. Concludes the Mishnah. We have a new takana, where the Chachamim impose a shvua upon individuals who are involved in business matters with other people's monies. And in these cases, even if there's no definite claim against them, you can force them to swear, to vouch for their integrity. The following will swear, even if there's no definite claim against them. Hashutfin, partners, varis and sharecroppers, vapatrapin, a caretaker of, you know, assets, v'ish hanoises, v'nesem sech abayis, a woman who's running the business at home, v'n abayis, or you have the oldest brother of the orphans running the show. Amarloi. So he says to the other person, mata taneni, what do you want? Why are you asking me to swear? Do you have anything against me? Any indication that I took something? No, he says, you're right. I don't know anything for sure. But I'd like you to swear, whether it's the partner or the caretaker, that in fact you've been running it with full integrity. It's all kosher. If he has to swear. Special takana that requires him to swear to vouch for his erlichet. But let's say the deal's up. Chalku ha-shutfin. The partners had already split up and gone their separate ways. Or Varis, a sharecropper, is already on a different job. He's no longer working for him. Too late. Ein yachal ha-shbiyah, he cannot impose a shvua at this late stage in the game. So while they're together, while he's still involved, but not afterwards. However, nisgal galay shvum makam achar, suppose the partner left, right? But somehow his opponent had some sort of shvua due to a different matter imposed on this fellow. So once he has to swear, Megalgun of Zakoil, we already cover everything, we bundle it up, and he can now ask him to swear to vouch for his integrity when, you know, way back they were together running the business. Concludes the Mishnah with a huge chiddush. We all know that Shemitah cancels, you know, debt claims. What about if a person was obligated to swear? He was a Maida b'miktsas, now comes Shemitah. What happens to that? Chiyuv Shavua. Says the Mishnah v'ashvius, just like Shemitah cancels monetary debt, it cancels Shavua obligations as well, because a Shavua is sort of an exchange for payment, right? Instead of paying, I swear to absolve myself. So just like Shemitah affects monetary claims, it affects the Shavua, which is really an outcome of a monetary claim. It's a manifestation of the monetary claim. Vashviz mishametes zashvur. Continues the Gemara. We began with an opening statement in the Mishnah that typically, when it's a shvur min ha-Torah, which party swears? The one that's defending his Torah, the one that's trying to absolve himself. Kol neshbon shebetorah neshbon v'lemisham. And how do we know that's true? How do we know he swears to absolve? Perhaps the plaintiff can swear and collect. Menola, the Amar Kor, the Pasuk says, this was by Yishaimrim, and there was a Shavua imposed, and it says, V'lakach ba'olav le'yishan, the owner, the plaintiff who has a problem with the Yishaimrim, where's my item, it lost, right? He will take v'lo yishalam, and the other fellow will not pay. Which means to say, the Shavua is a substitute for payment. So the plaintiff, the owner, it sort of receives the shvua from his opponent in lieu of payment. And that's how we know, Misha'olav l'shalem l'shvua, the one that was supposed to be doing the payment, he makes the shvuah to absolve himself from paying. But, midrabbanan, we have several individuals who are given the power and power to swear and collect. First on the list is a socher, a laborer, a worker. Finished his job. Where's my pay? Employer says, I paid you. Okay. Says the Mishnah, the socher will swear and collect. The question is why? Why did we give him this privilege? Why is he entitled to swear to collect? Rather than have the balabais, the employer, swear to defend himself and absolve himself and pater himself. Maishno socher. Why is a socher a privileged character? That tekinu l'rabbanon d'mishtabah v'shokot. The rabbanon allowed him to swear and collect. On Rabbi Dama Shmuel, halacha is gedoy l'shonukan. These are big halachas. Halacha sounds like it's halacha l'mashim esina. Halacha is hani hilchas aninu. These were not halacha l'mashim esina. These are established by the chachamim. El Eimer, rather, he meant to say takon is gedoy l'shonukan. These are great practices, great takonis. There are big takonis, there are small takonis, there are, what does that mean? Gedoylo is when you say there are big, great ones, mechladik, aktanis, there are lesser ones. Elam Rachmar Shmuel, he said like this, takonis kevuois shanukan. These are absolute practices. These are special takonis, which are game changers. They change the equation from your typical. Akru rabban l'shvum balabais. Typically, the defendant swears to make himself potter. They uproot it. They pulled it away from the balabais, who usually would make a shvua, v'shadua asacher, and gave it to the worker. Let him swear and collect. Why? Why? Mishum kedei chayav. To ensure that he earns his livelihood, that he gets paid. Asks the Gemara, well, I mean, the Baal Bayis also needs his money. Mishum kedei chayav the socher, to support the socher, kan sinalei le Baal Bayis, we penalize the employer. Why is he at fault? Just because he's desperate for his money. The answer is Baal Bayis gufa nichalei. The employer is agreeable to this arrangement, the mishtaba socher v'shokol, to allow the socher to swear and collect. Why keichi? These garon le'poilin, so that workers will be willing to come to work, knowing that with the confidence, knowing that they'll get paid at the end of the day, and not be stonewalled by the employers. Says the more adrab, well, just the opposite. Socher nichalei l'shtava baal bayis. Why are we focusing on the on the worker, trying to make the worker happy, trying to make the employer happy, so that he hires more workers, knowing that he's not going to have to, Adar Rav Socher Nichlei L'Shtava Baal Bayis. Perhaps the worker is more than happy that the Baal Bayis gets the right to swear V'nifka and absolve himself from payment. Why? To encourage people to hire workers, knowing that they'll treated fairly. Ki'echi deligre baal bayis. No, baal bayis should hire him. Should be willing to hire him, knowing that he's not going to, be ripped off. Says, no, baal bayis al korche agar. An employer needs workers. He just needs them for his business, for his factory. So we don't have to satisfy him. Right? He's going to hire anyway. Well, a worker also needs to get work. He needs to get paid. He needs to earn a livelihood. Socher nami al korche midgar. The worker as well. He's compelled to go to work and to get hired out. So basically, why are we looking to benefit the sacher, to give him perks over the baal bayis? Says the Gemara, you're right. This wouldn't be the factor at play. Rather, el baal bayis tored b'pay alafu. The answer is like this. A worker has, one job to do today. He's, single-minded, he's on one track, he's working, expects to get paid. He knows if he was paid or not. The owner, on the other hand, the Baal Bayis, is busy, has 20 workers running around. And perhaps he got distracted and, didn't realize. He overlooked to pay this worker. Okay, If that's the assumption, then why even swear? He's just paying without making a shvuah. The sacher shouldn't have to swear if we assume that the baal bayis is overlooked. The answer is you're right. The shvuah is kedei lahafis da'atish baal bayis, to satisfy, to appease the baal bayis, knowing that, you know, he was forced to pay this justly. So in theory, we should really obligate him to pay without a shvuah, but we want to make him put him at ease that it wasn't an unjust claim. So we tell the sacher, you know what, we think you're right, but just swear and then you'll collect. Asks the Gemara, why do we have to get involved in this whole confusion and make shvuahs? Let's institute a very straightforward, clear-cut takana which will preempt any concern of confusion and disagreement between the worker and his boss. Let there be a takana. You only pay workers in front of Edom. So now we know whether he paid him or not. It's not practical to find Edom every time. Another option. Pay him at the ahead of time. In the morning. As soon as you hire him, pay him for that day's work. This way, comes back at night claiming not to have been paid, you know that he's not right. Shnei Moritz and Ba'akaf. The answer is both parties are agreeable to leave it to the end of the day. Rashi says the Baal Bayis sometimes he hadn't gone to the bank yet, doesn't have money to pay, so he wants, you know, a little extra time, and the Poel as well, he doesn't want to spend his money at the local, you know, restaurant. He wants to make sure that he has it to bring home, so everybody's happy that you pay after you work. But since the Baal Bayis is overwhelmed with his workers at the end of the day, he might not have realized that in fact you overlooked to pay this worker. If that's the concern, that the tirud of the Baal Bayis grants the worker that extra privilege, I feel like it's not me. Let's say it's not a matter of whether paid or didn't pay. They both agree he wasn't paid. But the question is, how much does he owe him? How much was the tzitza, how much was the contract for? Worker says $200 a day. Owner says $100 a day. And in that sense, we find that the sacher was not granted any privileges over the Baal Bayis. The question is, why not? If he's confused, if the Baal Bayis is distracted by his many obligations and many workers running around, perhaps it slipped his mind as to how much the contract was for. So here as well, we should give the sacher, we should give the worker that advantage over the Baal Bayis. The worker claims he was promised $2. The owner says it was only $1. In this case, it's a standard monetary disagreement, in which case we say, prove your case. Otherwise, right? The worker is trying to extract this money. He's got to prove his case. Why is this different than our Mishnah? The answer is, it's very different. You may not have recalled whether you paid him, but you certainly recall how much the deal was for. Whether you got a good deal, whether you got a bad deal, right? Ktitza vade mitchadachle. He certainly remembers how much he contracted for. So in that sense, the Baal Bayis and the Sacher on the same have the same level of ne'emonus, and we say amaytzi mechaveroi olavarayim. Now let's say it's already a day later. So he worked throughout today. Halacha is you have to pay him throughout the next night, right? That's called, you know, zmanoi. The mitzvah of paying him in time and not letting it stay overnight, right? Past which there is an isser of Baal Tolin, don't delay wages past a certain, right? So the, let's say this agreement was triggered tomorrow, Avar's money, after the payment deadline. Sacher says, I wasn't paid. Baal Bayis says, you were paid. You should say that the same principle applies there too. And the Braisa says otherwise. Yachi, if it's a matter of confusion, afilu avar zmanei nami. We attribute the Baal Bayis, we're concerned that he overlooked, that he got distracted. So even if it's past date, nami, there too the sacher should be in the right. Allah matani will lend the Braisa avar zmanei v'lein asan life. It's past the due time, pay time. And sacher claims no pay. Harizat nishba v'neutel. He can't swear and collect. Why is this different? Perhaps the Baal Bayis, forgot to pay him. Answer is chazaka. We assume ein adam ein balabais ever bebaltalim. A balabais would not delay that far and risk the isur of baltalim. He certainly paid him before that time. Says then, what do you mean? He's confused. He's distracted. He overlooked. It's not a matter of intentional transgression. He forgot to pay him. Simple as that. For Amos, you just told me balabais torat bepayalov. He's overwhelmed by his workers. Who? Says the Moya, Hanimil Mekami. That's only before the deadline. Mekami Dilamatis Manchayuva. So throughout the night, he might not have realized that he skipped this payment. But once the deadline of Baal Tullin approaches, now it's a serious business. Now he certainly would have gained proper clarity and recalled whether he paid him or not. Kimot is man chiyuva. Once it comes to man chiyuva, when the lav kicks in, Rami and Avshei Mitker, certainly he would pay close attention and ensure that he paid all his workers. So at that late point in the game, we can't give the sachar any advantage. Asks the Gemara, okay, that's in terms of the Baal Bayis, but there is a chazaka. Why would the sachar claim money which is not rightfully coming to him? Is he a ganav? I mean, so just as you have a chazaka, a spiritual, chazaka, saying the Baal Bayis would not allow himself to veer into the Isra of Baal Tullin, why would a worker collect money that's not his? So there's a strong factor on his side as well, indicating that he's really owed the money. Why would you accuse him of stealing? So there is a chazaka versus a chazaka. So why would you say in this case the equation changes? Answers the Gemara Gaba Baal Bayis, he could trade chazaka. The answer is because Baal Bayis has two factors in his favor, two chazakas. First of all, the chazaka just mentioned, Chada Dein Baal Bayis over Baal Tolan, he wouldn't allow himself to violate Baal Tolan, so chances are he paid him. Number two, a worker would not tolerate this delay. Chances are the worker was on his case to get paid. So that works in favor of the Baal Bayis. Interesting, right? Vechada. Number two, Dein Socher Masher Schor. Typically, a worker does not, allow things to get dragged out to that extent. So chances are the Baal Bayis did pay him already. Right? At this late, point in the game. So that explains the halacha. That once it's late enough, we assume he was paid. In this case, the sachar has no advantage over the Baal Bayis. Okay, so let's just summarize. Why can the sachar swear and collect, which is not your typical system? Typically, you swear to absolve yourself. Here, the special takana, Baal Bayis, Torat b'poyalav, Baal Bayis is overwhelmed, distracted. There's a concern that he may have overlooked, forgotten to pay him. So here the sachir makes a shvuah and collects. But that's only if it's a question of paid or not paid. If the question revolves around how much the contract was for, Baal Bayis wins that case. Likewise, if it's the next day, past Baal Tullin, once again, Baal Bayis has the advantage. Amar Nachman, Amar Shmuel. When do we say a sacher is nishba v'noitel? Loishon, that's only true, ela she'sacher bi'edim. If there were edim, that this fellow, in fact, was hired for the job. So, in this case, Baal Bayis cannot just deny the whole story. And since he can't deny it, there's no migul. There's no reason to believe him over the sachar when it pertains to the question of paid or not paid. Aval sachar shel edim. Let's say he hired him without witness, without documentation, without edim, without witness. We have no right that he was even hired for the job. So the Baal Bayis will be trusted in this case when he said, I paid him. Why? If I was lying, I could have lied even better. I could have said, I never hired you. Metoich sheyachal is amigo. Metoich, since sheyachal loy maloi, since he can respond to him and say, you? I never saw you before. Loy secharticha mayaylo, I never hired you for the job. Done deal. So since he could do that, likewise, yachal loy maloi, he can come back and say, look, secharticha, true, I acknowledge, I hired you, but I paid you. V'nasat l'chascharcha, and I paid you. So the migu empowers the Baal Bayis. Amalei Rav Yitzchak, So Rabbi Yitzchak turned to Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak, Yasher, like Yasher Koyach, he complimented, he agrees with this halacha. V'chein Rav Yechon, likewise Rav Yechon held the same. Now what about Rish Lakish, who very often disputed Rav Yechon's opinion? What's Rish Lakish's view on this? Mechlal the Pogel Rish Lakish? So for Rabbi Yechon, who was of this opinion, does Rish Lakish disagree? So we're not sure. Ikadamri, some say Mishta v'shasi lei v'shasi lei. While Rabbi Yitzchak was listening to Rabbi Yechon's presentation, after the shir was over, Rish Lakish was there and he was taking a drink, so he was silent for the time being and did not get a chance to voice his opinion, in which case Rabbi Yitzchak never got to hear Rish Lakish's personal opinion. Ikadamri, some say Mishta v'shasi lei v'shasi lei, that he had a practice of just, you know, staying quiet for a while. Rish Lakish did, to contemplate Rabbi Yechon's words, so he was quiet in the meantime, and then Rabbi Yitzchak walked out of the Beis Medrash, not really knowing what Rish Lakish had in mind. Okay, in any case, we have a Chiddush from Rav Nachman, quoting Shmuel, confirmed by Rabbi Yitzchak, that if there is, in the absence of solid proof of the hiring, the Baal Bayis could just be believed with a migu. I could have said, I never hired. So believe me that I paid. It's Bernami. We have the same halacha. Amar Rash Bar Zvid, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, who also concurs with this point. Leishonu, this whole Mishnah is only El Shachar B'Edim if you hired him with Edim. Ava Shachar Shlabi Edim, but if there were no Edim around, since he can simply deny the whole story, he is to be believed that he paid his worker. Metayach Shiach Aleim Aleim Dvar Lechat Zechaticha Ma'ilam, since he can just deny the entire job. Yach Aleim Aleim Zechaticha. Likewise, he can say, yeah, I hired you, and I paid you in full. Hunasat l'chascharch. Amar Rami Bar Chama, this is a great halacha. I agree with it as well. Kama ma'al yashmaito, this halacha is really a true halacha, a great halacha. Amar le Rava, so Rava responded with a question. Really? Ma'al malyusa, what's so great about it? Im kain, if it is so, that in absence of solid proof of the initial transaction, the fellow is now empowered and will be believed in whatever he says. Imkain, if that's the case, we all know that there's a shvus hashomer in the Torah, right? I gave you an animal to watch. Where is it? Oh, I lost it, right? And the pasuk requires the shomer to swear to authenticate his claim. Why? Why not just simply trust him? He has a migul. He could have just denied ever having taken that animal from me. We have no documentation that it was even given to him in the first place. So shvua, so shomerin, the chiyav rachmano, when the Torah imposed the shvua on the shomer, why? Heichem mishkachla. How is that to be? Why even swear? Just take his word for it. He has a migul. If he would have lied, he could have lied much better and just denied the entire transaction to begin with. Since he could have responded with a big no, never happened. Should we trust him when he said, it died, there was an ayna, something, some accident happened? The answer is, you're right. The Torah is speaking where there were edim, who were there when the deposit was made. Well, even then, even if there were edim, that I got the item, I can still return it to you, you know, in private. So since I could claim that I already returned it to you, and I decided not to, so believe me when I say that it died, that something happened, that it was stolen. Yochalim alayin answer. You could say an anus happened. So again, why do I have to swear? I have a migu, trust me. The Afkalei Mishtar was speaking that there was a document involved when it was handed over. So, if you claim you returned it, you should have picked up the document in exchange. Since the other fellow is in possession of the document, that proves you wrong. You don't have a migu. You can't just deny. You can't just claim you returned it. And as to your claim of einus or whatever, swear to prove your claim. In any case, mechlal tavayis v'yirluhu. So it seemed from Rava and Rami Bar Chama, from their discussion, that they both would hold that a mafketz chaver be'edim ain't tzorach lachsli be'edim. That even if there were edim when the owner deposited the item for safekeeping, it doesn't mean that he has to return it with edim. That explains why he was able to theoretically deny the having the item, because he could have just said, I returned it. So even though there were Edom at the time of transfer, initial transfer, it doesn't mean he has to return it with Edom. However, Vishtar, if it's documented in a shtar that in fact it was handed over, tzorech lahashlu be'edim, the only way he can absolve himself is by giving it back, either picking up the shtar, so taking the shtar back, or have edim that in fact he returned it. But otherwise, he can't just say, I gave it back to you, as we mentioned a minute ago. Okay, so in any case, we have a big chiddush pertaining to our Mishnah. Mishnah says that a socher who is in a disagreement with the owner, you never paid me. Yes, I did. Mishnah says, Babai says, Torud. And as long as it's still, you know, close enough to the job, time-wise, Sachar swears and collects. But that's only if the Babai doesn't have this extra, you know, Ne'amonas, integrity card. So, we know for a fact that he hired him. There were Edom, whatever, so he can't just deny the whole story, and therefore we can't take his word for it. But if there were no Edom to begin with, Mego, he could have just denied the whole story, so we have to believe him that he paid him. That was Rav and Shmuel. Now, Kari, Rami Bar Chama, leader of Sheshes. Rami Bar Chama called out, applied on Rav Sheshes, the Pasuk, Vayosim David is Advar Me'ele B'Levavai. David HaMelech took these things to his heart. He analyzed whatever topic it was very closely, and clarified it. So he applied this to Rav Sheshes, who took the effort to clarify this very halacha, this very concept just mentioned. And actually, he asked a kasha on this from a brisa. So what happened? The Ashkei Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes encountered the Amora, the Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Amalini asked him, do you have anything that you can tell me about the halacha of a socher, of a, you know, the Mishnah here? Amalei Tani Mar Midi B'Sacher. Amalei In. He says, "Yeah, I have a brisa for you. Actually, Tanina, listen to this brisa. Sacher Bezmanoi Nishba V'Naito. Right? If it's still in close proximity to the conclusion of his job, Bezmanoi Nishba V'Naito, the Sacher can swear and collect. Keitzad? How does this play out? Bezman Shamalei Schar Tani V'Lenasatli Schari. Worker tells the owner, "You hired me, didn't pay me." The other fellow acknowledges, Chaticha, sure. I hired you, but I paid you. In this case, due to the tirda of the Baal Bayis, who concerned that he overlooked, that he forgot, got distracted, and the Socher is empowered to swear and collect. Avol, but let's say, this agreement centers around the original contract, the terms of the contract. But if the worker claims, you promised me $2 for the job. The other one says, no, it was only $1. This is a totally different halacha. Here, they're both on equal turf. And we say, before you collect, you have to prove your case. Hamad the Sefer Baraya responds Rav Sheshes. Now, he says, look, let's take a close look at the wording of the Braisa. We have the Resha, we have the Sefer. In the Resha, it's a standard Sacher disagreement, Nishba V'Noitel. It doesn't say anything about proving, substantiating anything. It's only in the Seifo, where it's a question about, you know, terms of the deal, the Sacher has to prove his case. Hamad the Seifo Baraya, since the second part is talking about requiring the Sacher to prove his case in order to collect, Havi, Reisha B'Laraya, apparently the first halacha allows a Sacher to collect without substantiating anything. Without proving that he wasn't paid, without proving even that he was hired. No, so what do we see? Even in absence of absolute confirmation that he was hired, we don't take the Baal HaBayis' word for it. We don't say, well, you could have just denied the whole thing, you have amigo, trust me that I paid. You don't do that. That's a kasha on Rav and Shmuel, who told us otherwise. Amar Nachmar Yitzhak, well, not so quick. Perhaps the ratio, as well as the Sefer. Reisha B'Sefer Baraya speaking that in fact a Raya was furnished. The reason why the Braisa omitted any mention of Raya in the Reisha, because, yeah, although we do need to prove something there, the Sacher has to substantiate the fact that he was hired to begin with. He has to bring Edom to that effect. Otherwise, the Baal HaBayis would just walk away with the case. But it's not an actual proof in terms of whether he got paid or not. It sort of sets the stage for the next step. Once it's been established that he was hired, okay, that's a given. Now the next question is, paid or not paid? So here, the sechar doesn't have to prove anything. He just swears and collects. He's not required to prove his claim, as long as he has it established that he was hired. So raya de l'shalom katani, raya de shvul katani. In the reisha, at most, the raya is pertaining to the original hiring. Right? It's only enabling the sechar now to swear to collect. It's not actually proving his case or giving him any raya to collect the money. So that's why the Mishnah does not, the Brisa does not, you know, refer to it, because it's not a raya to collect. Certainly it's required, but it's not within the context of raya de l'shalom katani, which is the seifa, where it's a question of terms of agreement. There he has to actually prove the numbers in order to get paid. So the raya over there is to obligate the Baal Bais to pay. Raya de l'shalom katani, that's what the Brisa discusses. We're not discussing rayas which sort of are playing in the background, but of course, perhaps they're needed. You have to prove that you were hired. Otherwise, the owner can just walk away with the deal because he has a migu. He could have denied the whole thing, as per Rav and Shmuel's chiddush. Okay, let's just do a brief chazor of today's daf. Typically, a shvua absolves, right? The shvua min haTorah is learned from the pasuk v'lakach bo v'leishalim. So the fellow takes my shvua in lieu of payment, and I absolve myself. Chachamim instituted special takanos, special shvuos in various cases, as per need to address certain specific concerns of the individuals being shortchanged, and Shvuah would protect them and allow them to collect what's rightfully theirs. We have the Sacher, right? Because the third of the Levites were concerned that he may have overlooked his obligations, and the Sacher can just swear and collect, provided that it's a question of whether he got paid. But if it's a question of terms of agreement, or if it's certainly down the road past the deadline, in that case, we assume, past the payment deadline, we assume that the Abayis is in the right, and he has no extra powers there. We did discuss the story of the Chenvani, who swears and collects. We had the halacha of collecting from Yisaimim. We had an interesting halacha at the end of the Mishnah. Partners or sharecroppers, they can just impose a shvua on each other, just so, without any concrete evidence of wrongdoing. And we had a chiddush at the end of the Mishnah, which is that Shemitah undoes a shvua obligation as well. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.